What should we be doing during our morning worship service? Have you ever thought about that? We spend 90 minutes together every Sunday, from 10:30 to around noon. How should we spend this time? What should we do with these 90 minutes? Some of you are elders in this room. You determine what we do with this 90 minutes. So what should we do? Some of you are deacons. You have say. You have input in what we do with this 90 minutes. So what should we do? Some of you are up-and-coming leaders. You're being discipled by elders. You're being discipled by people. The present and the future of this church is in your hands. You will be making decisions about how this church is run for years to come. So the question is, what should we do with this 90 minutes? Most of you are members, and you have votes, and you have input, and you have say, and you have influence. So the question we want to ask ourselves today is, how should we spend this 90 minutes for our spiritual benefit? What should this service be all about? Will you pray with me, please? Gracious Heavenly Father, we want to state right now, just as clearly as we possibly can, that the leader, the head, the king, the boss of Trinity Baptist Church is your Son, Jesus Christ. So, gracious Heavenly Father, as we determine what should be done on Sunday mornings, would Jesus' will be done? And would you help us all to grow? Help us to grow as a church. Help us to grow as your people. May Trinity Baptist Church be a better place because we have met here today. In Jesus' name, amen. Number one in your notes. The worship service should be a time to celebrate and teach the gospel. The worship service should be a time to celebrate and teach the gospel. We're going to spend a lot of time in the book of Ephesians today, so would you please open with me to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians 1, let's start with verse 3. Ephesians 1, 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. In love he predestined us to adoption as sons through Jesus Christ to himself, according to the kind intention of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, which he freely bestowed on us in the Beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace. The most important thing we can do with this 90 minutes is to celebrate and teach the gospel. Why is that true? I want to quickly give you three reasons this morning for why that is true. Number two in your notes, the gospel saves the lost. The gospel saves the lost. Behind me on the screen is beautiful Romans 1:16, and it says, I am not ashamed of the gospel. Why? For it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. We all hope that unsaved people will join us in our services. We're all hoping that, and many of us are praying that unsaved people will come and visit us in our church. What message do they need to hear? They need the gospel. Because it is only the gospel, it is only the gospel message that has the power to save them. The gospel message is the only message in all the world that has the power to save sinners. So for the unbelievers that come to our church, the most important thing they can hear is the gospel. Number three in your notes, the gospel strengthens and builds up the believer. You heard Alistair Begg answer R.C. Sproul's question. R.C. Sproul, on the video we showed you just a few minutes ago, said, why don't Christians take sin seriously enough? And the answer that Alistair Begg gave is this: because we do not understand what it means to be united to Christ. We don't truly understand union with Christ. Alistair Begg says the solution to Christians not taking sin seriously enough is a deeper and greater understanding of the gospel. So the best thing I can do with this 30 minutes is to teach the gospel. Here's a question for you. Why did you come here this morning? You know, it's the weekend. It's the weekend right now. There are many, many things you need to get done. I hate to remind you of this, but chances are you're really busy. You probably need the weekend to clean, or do laundry, or pay bills, or do the grocery shopping. You might really need the weekend to spend time with your family because you work so much. You might need the weekend to relax because you're really tired from all the demands of the week. This is the weekend. Why did you come here? Why are you here? You are here because you believe that coming here and listening to what I have to say will help you believe in, love, honor, and serve Jesus Christ. That's why you've come. You're here because you want to grow in your Christian life. And you believe coming here will help you do that. So my question to you is this: if you're here because you want to grow in your relationship with Jesus, then what is the one subject that I can talk about that will help you the most? That subject is the gospel. That subject is the gospel. See, I could talk about marriage up here. I could talk about work. I could talk about finances. I could talk about parenting. I could talk about any number of things. And the fact of the matter is that I have every intention this coming year of using this pulpit to discuss all of those issues. We want to talk about parenting and marriage and finances and work and all of those things that we're all struggling with day in and day out. But the one message that will help you the most in your Christian walk, the one message that will empower you to be the Christian you want to be, is the gospel. One of my favorite Bible stories is in Luke chapter 7. R.C. Sproul, behind me on the screen, talked about this just a little bit, but would you please stay in Ephesians and turn back and join me into Luke chapter 7. Luke chapter 7. Luke 7:36. Now one of the Pharisees was requesting him to dine with him, and he entered the Pharisee's house and reclined at the table. Luke 7:37. And there was a woman in the city who was a sinner. And when she learned that he was reclining at the table in the Pharisee's house, she brought an alabaster vial of perfume. And standing behind him at his feet, weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears and kept wiping them with the hair of her head and kissing his feet and anointing them with the perfume. Now when the Pharisee who'd invited him saw this, he said to himself, "If this man were a prophet, he would know who and what sort of person this woman is who is touching him, that she is a sinner." And Jesus answered him, "Simon, I have something to say to you." And he replied, "Say it, teacher." Look at this, Trinity Baptist. A moneylender had two debtors. One owed 500 denarii, the other 50. When they were unable to repay, he graciously forgave them both. Which one of them will love him more? Simon answered and said, "I suppose the one whom he'd forgiven more." And he said to him, "You have judged correctly." Jesus says, "That's right." Turning toward the woman, Jesus said to Simon, "Do you see this woman? I entered your house. You gave me no water for my feet, but she has wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You gave me no kiss, but she, since the time I came in, has not ceased to kiss my feet. You did not anoint my head with oil, but she anointed my feet with perfume. For this reason I say to you, her sins, which are many, have been forgiven, for she loved much. But he who is forgiven little loves little." What a powerful story. I hope you caught the amazing principle that Jesus talked about at the end of the story. And the question this parable, the question this story answers is this: who loves Jesus much? Who loves Jesus much? And the answer is, those who have been forgiven much love much. Would you like to love God more? Would you like to grow in your love for Christ? Brothers and sisters of Trinity Baptist Church, if you want to grow in your love for God, if you want to grow in your love for Christ, the answer to that is to deepen your understanding of the gospel. That is what will produce love for Christ. When you truly understand how sinful you are, and when I truly understand how sinful I am, and when we truly understand all of the amazing riches that we have been given in Christ, in spite of our incredible sinfulness, our love for God, our love for Christ, our gratitude for His grace will grow and grow and grow, and the result is more holiness. The result is more holiness. You see, our temptation is to look at the other people in the world and think we're pretty good. And that was Simon's problem. Simon looked at the woman who was a sinner and said, she is a terrible person. And as a result, he did not offer Jesus any sort of courtesy. The woman, on the other hand, loved Jesus much because she knew she was a sinner. She knew she was a sinner. Are there any small sinners in this room? Is there anyone in this room that has sinned less than other people in this room? Is there anyone in this room that doesn't need to be forgiven very much? When we grasp our own sinfulness, when we truly realize how much we have disobeyed and offended God, and we understand deeply all the riches we have been given in Jesus Christ in spite of our sin, the result is love for Christ. And that is why we will preach the gospel in this room. Please turn to 1 Timothy chapter 1, and let's look at Paul's testimony. First Timothy chapter 1. I love the book of 1 Timothy because it is Paul writing to the young pastor in the church of Ephesus. And look how he starts his advice to young Timothy. 1 Timothy 1:12. Paul says this, I thank Christ Jesus our Lord who has strengthened me because he considered me faithful, putting me into service, even though I was formerly a blasphemer and a persecutor and a violent aggressor. Yet I was shown mercy because I acted ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was more than abundant with the faith and love which are found in Christ Jesus. It is a trustworthy statement deserving full acceptance that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, among whom I am foremost of all. Yet for this reason I found mercy, so that in me, as the foremost, Jesus Christ might demonstrate his perfect patience as an example for those who would believe in him for eternal life. Now to the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. I love this passage. Paul cannot resist but throw verse 17 in there. Doesn't verse 17 look like it belongs at the very end of the book? Looks like he's ending. But he can't wait. He can't wait. He can't help himself to throw in verse 17 because he is so filled with gratitude over the grace that God has given even him. Paul understood that he was the chief of sinners. And Paul understood that God gave him amazing, incredible grace in spite of his sin, and this changed his life. And brothers and sisters, again, if we truly see how holy God is, and we truly see for the first time how sinful we are, we will be filled with overwhelming and unending gratitude for his love and grace. Brothers and sisters, the best thing we can do with this 90 minutes is to dive deep into the gospel. Perhaps you're here and you say, Pastor Dave, I know the gospel. I don't need to hear the gospel anymore. My dear brother, if you're saying that to me today, my dear sister, if you're saying that to me today, I want you to know this. The gospel is so deep. The gospel is so wide. The gospel is so long. The gospel is so high. There is not a single person in this room that understands it yet. We've been born again. Can you perfectly explain that to me? We've been justified. Do you understand completely what that means in your life? We've been redeemed. We've been adopted. We've been forgiven. We've been chosen. We've been predestined. We've been sanctified. We will be glorified. We have been sealed. And there was no one in this room that fully understands the significance of each of these beautiful gospel gifts. And the more deeply you and I understand all of the blessings that we have in Christ, the more mature Christians we will be. The more deeply you and I understand all of the riches we have in Jesus Christ, the more mature Christians we will be. Brothers and sisters, there is nothing that builds up the church more than the preaching of the gospel. We are seated with Christ. We are seated with Christ in the heavenly places. We are hidden with Christ in God. Christ is our atoning sacrifice. Christ is our prophet, our priest, and our king. Christ is seated at the right hand of the throne of God, interceding for us. Christ is our atoning sacrifice. Christ is our propitiation. We need to dive deep into what it means to be united to Christ. We need to understand as a church all of the treasures that we have in Christ Jesus. And brothers and sisters, I'm delivering you this message because it's on my heart. As I think and I pray about what I want to do for Trinity Baptist Church, I have honed it down to one thing. I want you to know the gospel. Because if you understand the gospel, if you understand what it means to be adopted, to be justified, to be sanctified, to be sealed, to be washed, to be regenerated, to be forgiven, if you understand the gospel, you will be armed and protected against Satan's attacks. I hope you're still in Ephesians. Please turn to chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the full armor of God so that you may be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. Ephesians 6, 12. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the full armor of God, so that you will be able to resist in the evil day, and having done everything to stand firm. Stand firm, therefore, having girded your loins with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. You know that this is the armor of God. And you know that Paul is talking about a Roman soldier. And a Roman soldier's armor was extremely important when going into battle. And one thing that's really important when going into battle is your shoes. You need good shoes when you're going into battle. And Paul says, we are in a spiritual battle. And what are we supposed to put on our feet? What are we supposed to put on our feet? What will prepare us? Do you see the word preparation? What will prepare us to go into spiritual battle? Brothers and sisters, it is the gospel. Trinity, I cannot teach you everything. I can't teach you everything. I do not have the knowledge, I do not have the energy, and I do not have the time left on this earth to teach you everything in the books of Genesis through Revelation. Now, we're going to continue to go through the Bible here at Trinity. You may be wondering that. Ever since I got back from sabbatical, you're like, where is Romans 8? I understand that. It's coming. I came back from sabbatical, and I have all of these burdens that I want to unload to you that are on my heart. We will get back to Romans 8. And when we finish Romans, we're going to go to Genesis. And when we finish Genesis, we're going to go to Mark or Luke or John. And when we finish one of those Gospels, we're probably going to go to Hebrews. We are going to continue to go through the Bible. But I will not finish it. I don't have time. It's not that I don't have time in my day. I don't have time left on this earth to take you through all 66 books. And as I approach the age of 50, I ask myself, what do I want to do for the people of Trinity Baptist Church? I want you to know the gospel. That's what I want. I have prioritized the gospel for this church. And if you are a member of Trinity Baptist Church, it is my goal that you understand the gospel. That you understand that you are justified, that you are sanctified, that you are redeemed, that you are adopted, that you've been chosen, that you are predestined, that you are sealed, and that you will be glorified. It is my goal that if you understand nothing else, you understand the gospel deeply. I want you to know the gospel. Number 4 in your notes. Again, this is why we are going to focus on the gospel. Number 2, the gospel saves the lost. Number 3, the gospel strengthens and builds up the believer. And number 4, the gospel glorifies God. You're in Ephesians now. Please go back to chapter 1. Chapter 1, verse 3 again, and I want you to see a theme that runs through these 11 verses. Ephesians 1, 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. This is what I want you to understand. I want you to know and understand every spiritual blessing that we have in Christ. just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us to adoption as sons through Jesus Christ to himself, according to the kind intention of his will. Look at verse 6. To the praise of the glory of his grace, which he freely bestowed on us in the Beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished on us in all wisdom and insight. He made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his kind intention, which he purposed in him, with a view to an administration suitable to the fullness of the times, that is, the summing up of all things in Christ. Things in the heavens, things on the earth. In him also we've obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose, according to his purpose, who works all things after the counsel of his will, to the end that we who were the first to hope in Christ would be to the praise of his glory. In him you also, after listening to the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation, having also believed, you were sealed in him with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is given as a pledge of our inheritance with a view to the redemption of God's own possession to the praise of his glory. Brothers and sisters, why are we going to focus on the gospel here at Trinity Baptist Church? The most important reason is the gospel glorifies God. The gospel displays the glory of God. The gospel, like nothing else, shows us God's holiness. It shows us God's righteousness. It shows us God's love. It shows us God's mercy, God's wisdom, God's grace, God's justice. There is no message so beautiful, so unique in this entire world that displays the glory of God like the gospel. Can you think of a better way to spend this 90 minutes than to display God's glory? What I want to do is what Paul purposed to do in Ephesians. He says it in chapter 3, verse 8. It's behind me on the screen. To me, the very least of all saints, this grace was given to preach to the Gentiles the unfathomable riches of Christ. And I declare to you today, on behalf of the elders, and as the pastor of this church, I declare to you today that this pulpit is for that purpose. This pulpit at 10:30 Sunday morning is to declare the unfathomable riches of Christ.